Does it bother you to be known by God? I mean, really known. The psalmist says that, God, you have searched me and you have known me. The word is sometimes translated as excavated. Lord, you have excavated me. I have many times in my life gone to places where there are ruins, archaeological ruins, where they are excavating. In my home state of Oklahoma, there are many Native American ruins. I've spent time in New Mexico where there are ruins. I recently was in Israel where there are many, many ruins. One of the most fascinating things we visited on our trip was a museum where a boat had been found during the drought of the Sea of Galilee. And some amateur archaeologists walking along found something that they thought looked interesting and began to dig around it and determined that they had found what they believed to be a very old boat. And the two men studied and carefully removed the dirt around it and covered it in foam so that it wouldn't fall apart, so that they could have it lifted up and taken to a place of safety because they knew the lake would rise soon. They determined the boat was made out of 12 types of wood, which meant that none of those were from that region, so that the likelihood that whoever owned that boat or were fishermen in those days had a pretty good livelihood. And it was so amazing the information they could find out about this boat from 2,000 years earlier. The Lord knows us, has excavated us down to the very fiber of our being. But I really love that the term might actually mean excavate, because it would mean that God spends time and energy getting to know everything about me. And that God takes very careful, takes time and everything that can be done to preserve me, to not harm or change me, inside or out. While there is a very big part of me that loves that thought of somebody knowing my deep down DNA, I kind of have to take a deep breath when I think about God knowing everything I'm thinking. God knows me. Oh, no. God, you know all those things about me that drive other people crazy. God, you know every bad thought I've ever had, every mistake I've ever made, everything that I don't want anyone else to know. It's not as wonderful as it sounds, is it? Yet, God, you love me in spite of the things that would drive other people away. You love me in spite of the things I've done that have hurt people. You love me just like I am, even when the me inside here may not be the me I want the world to see. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, while he was in prison, because of his resistance against the Nazis, he was a German pastor, and he wrote a poem called Who Am I? And it's found in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. It's a poem about what others say about him as opposed to how he feels about himself inside. And it was written just before he was killed by the Nazis. It goes like this. Who am I? They often tell me I stepped from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me I used to speak to my warders freely and friendly and clearly, as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me I bore the days of misfortune equably, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I myself know of myself? Restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colors, for flowers, for the voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighborliness, tossing in expectations of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance. Weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I, this or the other? Am I the person today and tomorrow I'm another? Am I both at once, a hypocrite before others and before myself, a contemptible, woe-begone weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. Thou knowest, O God, I am thine. I'm always moved by this poem because Bonhoeffer easily was somebody that I admired, I have studied, I have read, I have quoted, and I have wondered how he had had the strength to do some of the things he did, including trying to overthrow Hitler. This man was so amazing, yet he had thoughts just like you and me. Times when he was lonely and sad and hurt, and when he felt like the world had left him behind, and times when he felt like no one knew the real Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Times when he wasn't sure he knew the real Dietrich himself. But he knew that God knew him. The real him. And better than that, God loved the real Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Sounds beautiful to be known by God, doesn't it? God, you have searched me. I don't know about you, but my personal experience being searched isn't great. A few years ago, while a group of us were getting on a plane, I don't even remember where I was going, but I had my hair like this, all curly and big. And everyone was going through, trying to get through the security, and I went through and they stopped me and they said, "We need to search your hair." The people around me were laughing, already having made it through the process, and they literally came up and started searching my hair. I thought to myself, well, what do they think I have hidden in my hair? I have a lot of hair, but there's not room for a gun or a knife. I didn't know what was hidden in my hair, but I know that they were touching me and I was becoming messy and I was feeling guilty. You know, my heart was pounding and I thought I haven't done anything wrong, but I felt guilty. I don't always think being searched is a good thing. Usually I don't like it. But don't we spend a lot of our life searching to know God? But we don't want anyone, including God, to search us or to know that much about us, do we? We want to say, okay, God, I need you here, and I need you here, but could you just sit over there for a while I go here? We don't want God before us. We don't want God behind us. We don't want God beside us, at least not all the time, because we feel hemmed in. We want God on our terms. We so often read this scripture. It's a very well-known scripture, but sometimes we think of it as a praise and adoration, when in truth, might it be a lament? Remember the Samaritan woman at the well when she went and told her friends, come see this man who knows everything about me. She didn't get many takers, did she? We don't do well when people know too much about us. We sadly keep people at least an arm's length away. It's why marriage is so difficult, because when you live with someone 24/7, you start to know them pretty well. Celebrities have this problem. They can't get away from the public. And some of them turn to alcohol and drugs because they don't have a way to escape. We try to hide from God and it doesn't work. People even tried to kill. And guess what happened? He returns and says, I am with you always. It's a fearful thing to be known by God, but it's also a very wonderful thing. Isn't it amazing to know that there's nothing you can do that will change how God loves you? Nothing. Not the decisions you make, you're loved. The God who wants us to let go and turn ourselves over, to surrender ourselves completely, is also the God of unconditional love. The God who believes that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and believes that because God created me just like I am, loves me just like I am. You know, I don't consider myself an artist, but I do occasionally attempt to create works of art. The problem I have when I work on art is I see the flaws, and I always want to do it again to see if I can get it better, and do it again so I can see if I can get it better. God sees my flaws and says, this is perfection. This is perfection. Jerry Weber, I've read for you before, his wonderful take on rewriting Psalms in contemplative voice. And this is the way he writes Psalms 139. O Lord of light, you shine the searchlight of your love into my life. You illuminate my life with your brightness. You know everything there is to know about where I go, what I do, and who I am. Sometimes I walk a well-trod path, and sometimes I venture out where there is no trail to follow. Wherever I am, you find me in order to guide my steps. Though my journey may seem frightening to me, it is not unknown to you. Even when I don't know my way, I'm not lost to you. You're in front of me, you are behind me, surrounding me with love wherever I go. Your strength and peace are constant companions, and if you laid a hand on my shoulder yourself, as if you were closer to me than my next breath. I can't go anywhere to be away from you. I can't shake your encompassing spirit. Whether I go to the heights or the depths, to the east or to the west, you are still present to me. I may soar with the eagles or be in the deepest agony, and even then, your hands hold me fiercely. You embrace me in a determined love. May you, my friends in Christ, may you know that you are known. And in being known, you are embraced in a determined love. Amen and amen. Our hymn of response today is a hymn that is not in our hymnal. It is a hymn called, I was there to hear your voice.